This is Archer, archerradio.com. Today is Wednesday, August 30th, 2006, and today we have some spoilers. If you did not watch Big Brother last night, then I suggest you not listen to this show. Excuse me, I'm about to burp, but I'm going to hold it in for Travis. Anyway, I'm about to call Mark, and we're going to talk about Big Brother. So let's call Mark now and see what he has to say about Big Brother, because I missed sections of it. Anyway, let's call Mark.
Hello.
Hey, Mark, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Just fine, thank you.
Good. Wasn't that an exciting episode of Big Brother?
I was just going to say, can you imagine all that? Now, I do have
all the drama.
I know. I have to preface this because I got a phone call in the middle of it, so I missed probably 15 to 20 minutes right in the middle there.
You don't got no TiVo?
No, it was recording, but I have it on recording, but I wanted to record a show with you, so I didn't watch it right away. So
I see. Okay. No, what I usually do is I fast forward again through the commercials, and then usually it brings me up to date by the end of the show.
Okay.
But so what part did you miss?
Well, the phone call came right at in the middle of the veto competition.
You didn't miss too much then. You figured out what happened, and basically it was just that the video competition was kind of hard. It was kind of hard for George because he got hit by lightning.
I did see that it took him 24 minutes or something like that.
And that it was, Janelle just kicked ass. She really
I can't believe
ass.
She
I mean,
did
basically,
that.
The three girls, and this is interesting. Obviously, Will threw it, and Mike sort of didn't do too well either, but I have a feeling that even if they had tried as hard as they could, the girls would have done better anyway, because that's the kind of skill that is more that women tend to do better.
Yeah, it's a very visual thing.
Yeah, but it's just observing and being observational. I mean, there are guys who are they've been dating a girl for 6 months, and you say real quick, okay, what are the color of her eyes, and then you cover her eyes real quick so you can't cheat,
exactly.
Brown.
I should tell the listeners that we're talking about the veto competition, and in the veto competition they had to identify the two faces that were kind of merged in different sections of their face.
They would show on the screen little 2 second or 1 second blips of just an eye, some lips, a nose, and they were doing bits and pieces of two people at the same time.
Right,
and you had to figure out which two people it was, and then match them.
And how many of them did they have to identify?
Five.
And Janelle did five in 1 minute.
Yeah,
I couldn't believe that.
Yeah. She was fast. She was good. She's a good competitor. You got to hand it to her.
And she's definitely a good competitor. I mean, she's been saving herself for a couple weeks now. I mean, God, I can't believe she won the Power of Veto again.
Yeah. Well, now that James is gone, she's the veto queen.
She is the one.
Or I should say veto, sorry.
Right.
I actually did my own, the thing that drives me crazy, calling it veto.
Veto, yeah.
Some Italian dude.
Okay, so I was watching that while I was talking on the phone, so I had the volume muted, and then right after that, there was obviously some strategy or strategizing going on between...
Some strategery, as strategery. George Bush would say.
Some strategery.
Yes. Yeah, George consulted his expert chicken George, and they had some strategery.
But now, obviously, Will and Mike just have total control over all these people, because they totally convinced Erica, from what I was seeing on the screen, convinced her to nominate Danielle. How did that how did that come about? Because I totally missed the actual.
Well, I mean, it's part. The thing is, it seemed you might say, oh, it's just that whole showmance thing, but the truth is, they were telling her the truth. I mean, Danielle did stand. If it were Danielle and anyone else in the final two, Danielle would win. Period. Because she this year, unlike before, she didn't really piss anyone off. I mean, she's just been a really good, strategerer. And she's played it really smart since the first week, and I think they convinced her of the truth, which is that if it was Erica and Danielle would win.
Yeah,
because she would deserve to win. Whereas Erica, see, that's the thing. It's always, and this is what we talked about before, that whole sort of rewarding of mediocrity. There's a lot of people in America who haven't played as hard. They haven't been on the field in the game. They've been on the sidelines.
Right.
And then when it's their position, they would rather take someone out who is viewed as a good competitor than have competed themselves in that. And that's why most of these reality shows really sicken me. But at the same time, it reflects so much of our national character. You know, this notion that we would rather, you know, we say we love excellence, but we'd rather take someone else out through a coup than in really having to compete against them straight on, one-on-one, you know?
Right.
So that's, you know, here's something I wanted to ask you. Have you noticed, this is like the smallest, most picayune detail, but have you noticed every time after the veto ceremony, when the person takes the veto thing off and puts it in the box, why won't
oh
that
my
stupid
God.
Box close?
Oh my God, you have the exact same pet peeve that I do. I swear to you.
That's stupid box. They close it and that little thing comes open again.
I think it's about like, that every single week, and I'm thinking to myself,
dear CBS.
Exactly, but you know, I know why it
does
that.
Get the prop guy to fix the stupid box.
Well, no, I know why that happens. Because when it's first in the box, right, the ribbon is tucked underneath.
Yeah.
And the little metal is just sitting where it's supposed to. When they put it back, they just like shove it in there, and it's not enough space to close the box.
But what they need to do is take out the inner lining on the top, so that, I mean, it's just bad TV because it's one of those things, it's just like it sticks in your mind and you're not looking at the show, you're thinking about stupid stuff like that.
And
it's like it's like bad continuity in a movie, like when they're doing a two shot and, you know, like let's say there's a table between two people and there's a Coke on the left hand side, but then it got moved but the continuity person didn't note it, so every time you pan back and forth between the two people it looks like the Coke bottle is just teleporting itself back and forth.
Exactly. And I swear it drives me crazy every week because I'm thinking to myself, okay, is that box going to close this time, because it never
that's
closes.
Exactly what I thought when she said this veto survives. I'm like, where's the box, where's that box, is it going to close?
Oh my God, that's so funny.
Little thing popped up on itself.
Funny.
Yeah. So, oh my God. So, okay, let's go back to the beginning. Let's talk about how cool is it that Neil Patrick Harris went on.
Okay, I could see that was happening, but I didn't really know.
You missed that part too?
Yeah, I didn't know what they were talking about. But obviously,
God.
Well, let me just say, I know that they won the Christmas in August or whatever thing.
Yes.
And he was.
And Neil Patrick Harris was the Santa.
Right, he delivered all the presents. But now, what was Will's obsession with him? Obviously, they were kept showing Will.
Because he loves that show. He loves that show that he's on, How I Met Your Mother.
Oh, okay.
And, gee, isn't it convenient that that's a CBS show?
Of course. Will is good about getting himself on the show like that.
Yeah. So, funny story, actually. Neil Patrick Harris and I are both from New Mexico. And he went to a high school that was about a mile down the road from mine. And you know, I used to be an actor, and at the time I did a play that the playwright who wrote the film Clara's Heart, that was sort of his big breakout role when he was a kid, that he had written too. So it was sort of funny, like a funny, strange connection to Neil Patrick Harris there.
Well, I think he's adorable.
He's a great actor.
I would so do him too.
He's a good singer as well. He
really.
He was in a production of Sweeney Todd. Yeah, he played Tobias in the LA production of Sweeney Todd a few years ago, which, you know, the Sweeney is now on Broadway. It's back on Broadway as a revival. Another funny connection, actually, the guy who played that same role in the Broadway revival this last year was nominated for a Tony. His name is Manuel Falciano, and I went to college with him.
Oh my gosh.
So again, just strange, weird coincidences.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So back to Will though, did he, what were some of the things he was saying when he saw that it was Neil Patrick Harris? Cause I didn't hear.
They were just, you know, gushing and, you know, getting all crazy for and Neil Patrick Harris is a big fan of Big Brother. So he was like asking, he's like, oh, is the table getting smaller and smaller? And, oh, you know, how many days do you guys have left? And all these kind of stuff.
You
so
know,
he was really into it.
The table did get smaller, but they didn't, you know, make a production of it like they've done in the past.
Yeah, and that was the first. It's funny because you and I were talking about that, but that was the first acknowledgement on the show when Neil Patrick Harris asked them, is the table getting smaller? And they said,
yeah.
So they didn't really acknowledge it on the show this time.
Well, and then, okay, so moving on for the listeners. So Erica, Janelle won the power of veto, and in the veto competition, well, right before the veto competition, Will and Mike Boogie convinced Erica that she needed to consider putting up Danielle for eviction.
No, that didn't. Well, they talked to her about it, but that didn't. That actual convincing didn't happen until after Janelle
won the veto.
Until actually, she won the power veto. Yeah, and then this whole thing, and Danielle sort of went crazy. She got a little drunk. They showed her that's, having some wine.
That's what I was going to ask. Was she drunk?
She called Erica out.
Yeah, she went psycho.
Wild. Yeah, and that was sort of a bad move. She should have played it a little cooler. She should have guilted her in a soft way into doing Will.
Yeah, because you know she totally sealed her own fate by that whole
going it's off. The same thing as when Jace went bonkers on Marcellus or when Jace went bonkers after he got backdoored and Marcellus was like calling him out on it. It's just what happens is you might be justified, you might be right, but people say, well, you're a loose cannon, so we definitely can't keep you around.
What she should have done, here's what I think she should have done, because she had Chicken George there and Erica at the same time. The three of them should have created an alliance right then to get Janelle and Chilltown out of the house.
Right, but see, Erica, that's the problem, is that she already... Erica is the worst player of all because she has no spine, and she thinks she's a moral person, but she isn't. You know what I mean? Like, those people who play by emotion, they feel guilty, they think they're trying to, quote-unquote, do the right thing. People like that never do the right thing.
Right. And they never make people happy.
They have no real sense of self and no real sense of the strategy either. So it's like, the thing is, it was strategically for Erica, it was a stupid move because she doesn't realize she's being totally played by Mike and Will, by Mike Boogie and Will.
She
had two conversations where she's tried to bring up with Mike Boogie, you know, the moment when it comes down to the three of them, is it going to be me? Or is it going to be Will? And he brushed her off both times, and she bought it both times like an idiot. She's a stupid, love-stricken bimbo at this moment.
I can't believe that she can't see that he is going to totally kick her aside when it comes to that point. She's stupid.
Right, and it's just like Howie said, even though it turned out not to be true for him, buds before babes.
Exactly.
I think he said it a little more crass, but...
What did he say?
Yeah, I don't know, something like... You know, friends before pussy or something like that. You know, whatever. But it's true, guys. You know, and that's a showman. It's not even a romance. There have been real romances on there, and even then, they sold each other out. You know, this is a fake thing. He's using her, and I'm just so shocked that she wouldn't see that. But again, she's not really a good player. Nor is she nearly as moral or as ethical as she thinks she is. Well, she thinks she's being ethical, but she's not.
And I can't believe that she actually thinks that she has like something going with Mike Boogie that he would save her. I mean, it's a show. She is having a fling. It's not.
And not only that, they have been friends for 5 years. And Mike Boogie also knows that he has to throw Will under the bus at a certain point in order to win.
Yeah, didn't he mention that on Sunday's show?
She's hoping that she can lure him with the power of the pussy to throw Will under the bus sooner rather than later. But you know that Mike is not going to do that until the last possible moment.
That's right.
He's going to do it when it's three people because he does not want to go to the final two with Will. Like, the worst scenario for both Will and Mike is to go to the final two together as Chilltown. They're going to have to turn on each other when it's three people.
Yeah, but...
And only when it's three people, not before.
But now, obviously, there's a good, strong possibility it would be Erica and Chilltown. Don't you think that if it ends up being Mike and Erica in the final two, don't you think Erica would win between those?
Usually, a lot of times what happens is when it gets towards that end, I think the people, they don't feel like they were quote-unquote screwed. I think they have time to reflect and they realize, hey, he's really been playing the game. She hasn't really been playing the game. She got held along as a pawn during the game, and then she's made some stupid moves. So the truth is she's made more enemies. I think that, at least I'd like to hope that people realize, hey, it's a game. After their emotion dies down, and you've seen it on Survivor where people are like, yeah, okay, my emotion died down, so, you know, props to you, you know, you beat me fair and square, I'm voting for you.
Right, yeah, I guess that's true.
I would hope so, because I think Mike hasn't, he's been honest in his dishonesty. He's been incredibly honest in that regard, and he's been fair in that sense. He hasn't not, like, he hasn't completely strung someone along and then completely fucked them over, which Erica has now.
Yes.
Erica completely fucked Danielle over. Janelle completely fucked Marcellus over. She completely fucked James, who of course completely fucked everyone else.
Yeah.
But Mike and Will, you have to say they've been honest in their dishonesty the whole time.
And they have not been winning anything, really.
Yeah.
You know.
Which, in that regard, it makes it seem, hey, you know, those two deserve. You know,
yeah, that's
either
true.
Of them deserve to win because they're playing hard.
Yeah, that's true.
And George, of course, is just sitting pretty because he realizes, or I don't know if he realizes it, but they realize that he's got to stay there towards the end, but he can't be. Well, I don't know. Maybe they're starting to think, hey, final two, you know, because he's only there through sheer luck. He's never done anything himself to get it. So I think that a lot of those people realize that, and they just would feel so terrible giving George the money.
I think so, too. But now, for the listeners, after the whole scenario with Erica and Danielle going crazy, Janelle did take herself off the nomination block, and Erica had to put
up... Now, hold on. Do you think that anyone... who isn't watching Big Brother is still listening at this point that you have to narrate? Like,
oh, yeah, I guess you're right.
Because if they're not into Big Brother, they're like, I'm not listening to Archer today.
Turned off. That's true. Okay, well, Danielle's up now. All right, but now here's the scenario.
I'm sorry, I had to say that.
That's okay. Did you get the email from Big Fatty, the update from Big Fatty?
You mean like earlier today?
Yeah, earlier today, yeah.
Yeah.
Because he says that it's a double eviction week. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it is a double eviction week. Yeah, Julie said it. That's not any spoiler.
Okay.
Julie said it on the show last whenever.
But are they going to do it the same way they did last time, like right as soon as the head of household has to nominate people?
I don't know. I don't think they mentioned it. But who knows? We'll see.
Huh.
So, yeah. But wait, let's go back towards the very, very beginning of the show because I want to talk about Chicken George.
Okay.
Chicken George got his ass hit by lightning and he never mentioned it. And they were all laughing so hard. I'm like, it explains everything. It explains so much.
Do you
about
think...
why he's just got a loose wire, you know?
You think he was like a... mentally
and the funniest thing he said, and the doctor said, you know, to watch out because there might be side effects, but I never had none side effects.
That totally does explain,
like,
George.
I don't know, maybe you were this dumb before, but now you're definitely just out there, you know. But it's in such a lovable way, like, you have to like the guy, you know. He's such a lovable idiot.
That's another reason why he's lasted as long as he has.
Yeah, and they feel like he's not a threat. And at a certain point, I thought he was really... Remember, we even talked about this. I thought, man, he's really one of the smartest players because he's playing this whole dumb role. But the truth is, he's not playing the dumb role. He's just dumb.
And
he's just damn lucky, you know?
Well, now, what are the chances that Danielle makes up with Erica and works it so that they kick George out?
That's what I immediately thought and I hoped, and I think that it theoretically could work, but I think that they all realize, wait a minute, they just gave a quick preview. I still have it on CBS. They gave a quick preview of what would happen on Thursday. Let me put the sound on. Sorry.
That's okay.
I rewound it on my TiVo. The house guests will be surprised with two evictions in 1 hour. And then they show Danielle, like, shoving someone. And you couldn't see who she shoved.
Oh.
She actually shoves. She shoved Mike. She says, I'm not giving up. So who knows? Maybe she's, I don't know. She's smart enough to concoct a plan to convince Erica, or to convince, you know, she might now go to Erica and George and say, well, here's how you can, but not to George. No, duh, obviously, because he's on the block.
Right.
She has to convince Janelle to keep her in, basically.
That's right.
Because if it's a tie, what happens if it's a tie?
Then the head of household has to vote.
Oh, actually, wait, no, it can't be a tie because... No, it is, because it's four, right? Four people get to vote.
No. So then they three, had it, right. No. Isn't it three people get the vote?
No, there's six people now. Two of them are up.
Right, so the two who are up
but
can't
the head
vote.
Of household doesn't get to vote.
Exactly, so it can't three. Be a tie.
So Danielle, see, it's no, there's no way, because she's not going to convince Mike and Will.
No.
She's not going to convince either of the Chilltown, so it's over for her.
Yeah, I think you're right.
It's over. She's cooked.
Oh, that's too
there's
bad.
There's no way that it serves their interest to keep her in and get rid of George. Not at
right,
all.
Right.
Nope. Brilliant move. They were smart. She didn't see it coming. She should have kept working Erica. She trusted her.
She shouldn't
and Erica have... is the idiot. And, you know, the thing about this game is that the way it works is usually each week when it's the head of household does the horrible, nasty, dirty work, and then they suffer for it the next week.
Right.
You know, and I think what's going to happen, Erica's going to realize that Mike Boogie is not going to stick with her, and she's going to be screwed, and she's going to go next.
She needs to realize that quick then.
But. Because, I mean, even in the weirdest scenario, either of Mike or Will up against Janelle could still stand to win.
Because that's true.
These other people hated Janelle more than they hated Mike and Will.
Or, if you go back to your theory earlier, they will realize that Janelle has been an amazing player and reward her that way.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. It gets real dicey and iffy. Because they have the same feelings towards all three of them. Because all three of them have played really well.
Yeah.
Except Janelle hasn't really manipulated so much as she's just been tenacious. And she was smart enough to have had the alliance at the beginning.
Right.
But the truth is, Will and Mike have both manipulated very, very well.
And watch, it'll end up being those two in the end, I have a fear.
Yeah, well, hey.
Yeah.
More power to them.
Okay, so that's our Big Brother update, but now I have a question for you.
Okay.
Because you mentioned Survivor. Have you seen the previews for Survivor coming up this season?
Yes.
Now, what do you think, as you being a man of ethnicity or whatever, I don't know how to pronounce
it. We're all men of ethnicity.
Yeah, I just realized that as I was saying it. I'm like, how can I say this? Okay, but anyway, on to the new Survivor, they're going to divide them by ethnicity.
There's an Asian group, a Caucasian group, a Black group, and a Latino group.
What do you think of that?
It's smart for ratings, and it's actually, I think a lot of people are up in arms and bothered about it, but the truth is, I think it's actually an interesting social experiment. I mean, I think the reason that so many people are up in arms is because we as a nation are deathly afraid to actually talk about this stuff. This is what we need to do stuff like this. That's a little crucible in which we can sort of see ourselves, and so it'll give us a nice little image so that we can actually start asking these questions. The problem, though, is that America probably isn't going to ask the questions. They're either going to criticize it or they're going to be sensationalized by it and just move on.
Right.
You know, I heard an author yesterday on one of these Katrina programs talking about how this issue of race that got exposed during Katrina, this was a perfect opportunity for America to talk about issues that we don't talk about, and we squandered it. We didn't talk about what we needed to say. You know, we didn't examine ourselves. We didn't really say the truth of our experiences, and you know, with regard to race and class in this country.
That's
you know?
True.
And I'm saying, regardless of, you know, quote unquote, what side you're on in terms of judging this or that or saying that America's racist or America's not racist, but the truth is we have these issues that we need to talk about, and we're not. You know, we're afraid. We're on the one side, we're too polite and just fearful of just really getting out there and saying the truth.
Yeah, I just have a feeling the whole Survivor thing is not going to provide the platform to have those kind of discussions, because it is going to be sensational and people will just watch it for that.
Yeah, and after the first few weeks when they figure that they need to do something for the ratings, they'll switch it up. You know?
Right. I expect that they will. After like probably 3 weeks, they'll merge all the different tribes together. So
yeah. Although for the first time, it has the potential of really being like Lord of the Flies, you know.
Yeah. So that's another reality show I will be watching come whatever September 13th or 14th or something like that.
Yeah. So yeah, should be interesting.
Yeah.
So I just want to give if you don't mind me giving a quick plug.
I was just going to say, because I'm going to end this, so let's go ahead and plug some stuff.
Yeah. So let's plug my latest Remarkable Palette show, which just went up,
and
it's a really great It's a fun show. It's an interview with Wes Martin, who is the chef on Martha, on the Martha show. He's a friend of mine.
Oh, cool.
And it's a great talk. We were in the studio, in their TV studio, and I got to interview him.
You were actually in the TV studio?
Yeah. You know, the little kitchen that you see there on the side? That's his little kitchen.
That's so cool.
And so we were in there talking about his history and how he got to be in the food business and food styling and writing cookbooks and then doing support for other TV personalities before he started doing Martha.
Wow.
So that's a fun show. And also, as I mentioned before, we're doing this promotion with a sponsor called to ask people to go to a blog called alifemuchsweeter.com, and we will ask that you go to either the Gilded Fork or remarkablepalate.blogspot.com and click on the links there to go to A Life Much Sweeter, and you can also get a sample of Sweet Simplicity, this new natural sweetener, which is really cool.
Oh,
you can
cool.
get a free sample if you click on this link and sign up for it.
Very cool. So I encourage all of my listeners to go do that.
Thank you.
Yeah. All righty. Well, thank you for being on the show again.
Thank you. I'm finally going to do a Remarkably Mark in the next day or so. So
good, because I'm ready for the next one.
Yeah, thanks.
Have to have my weekly dose, you know.
All right, so. Good.
All righty. Well, you take care, and thanks again for being on the show.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, boys and girls, that was our call with Remarkably Mark and our update about Big Brother. Excuse me. Tomorrow on the show, we have Homer. We have a catch-up call with Homer, so tune in for that. So, boys and girls, that's all for today. Until next time, bye.
Usher Radio.